Okay, so in yesterday's parasha, Elif Kriya Mishkan, Mishkan Ha'edus. So Rashi says, what is Mishkan Ha'edus? So Rashi says, Edus Li Yisrael, it's testimony for Klal Yisrael, Shevite Elohim HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaMaiseh HaEgel. That Kadosh Baruch Hu was, interesting Russian, Vite Elohim. Vite means he kind of like a let it go. Vatran means use that term Kolam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vatran. Vatran means he wasn't medaktek in it. Wasn't medaktek in the Chet HaEgel. And he let it go. Sherei Hishra Shechinas Al Beinayim. Okay. So if it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was machaper them on the Egel, if on Egel, okay, so that's fine. I mean, but why is that? How is that tied to the Mishkan? I mean, why is that called the Mishkan Ha'edus? That's something that occurred, and fortunately, Kadosh Baruch Hu was mechaper us. That's one thing. What does the Mishkan Ha'edus have to do with that? How is that tied to Mishkan Ha'edus? But the Ramban learns differently. He learns Mishkan Ha'edus means because the Mishkan has the Edus, the Luchos, and the Mishkan is the whole essence of the Mishkan is really the Luchos. That would seem to be more in line with the idea of an essential concept in the Mishkan, as opposed to Rashi, who just says, okay, so now there's Ashur Shemitah, so you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mechaper, so what is that? How is that tied to the Mishkan itself? I mean, that's a question. Okay, let's leave that question go. What I want to do is, we'll come back to it, I want to take up something that we were talking about last time, and I think it's important because it has to do with the Yesodei Hados that we were discussing last time, and how to deal with it. And how do we deal with it on a personal level, individually, and also benogea to how we deal with it with others as well? Okay, I think it's an important idea because how we deal with it ourselves is important, certainly most important. But then how you deal with others is also an important area, like other people that you encounter. So what we were discussing last time was Eliyahu Navi's argument, which they couldn't answer, where he said to them that he said either you go after God or else you go after the Baal. But so if you're going after the Baal, so go with the Baal. So what he meant was that you can't have a mutually exclusive system is worthless, because that is not belief. You can't have belief in two mutually exclusive systems. Okay, and the Ramban mentions that really. Did you find it? We have one? In the Vikuach. You got it? Well, the Ramban in the end of the Vikuach, when he's arguing with Pablo Cristiani, so he says that he asked him about the Trinity. So Pablo Cristiani tried to. He basically, Pablo Cristiani himself really just answered everything in the negative. So I don't have it there. Let's see for Mitzvahs. Oh, here's the girl. Okay. So he himself answered it. He asked himself, what is this Trinity? So he says, does the Trinity mean that they're three separate bodies? He said, no.
Rabbi, I have it if you want.
It's easy if you read it in English.
Okay, shall I read it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hearken, hear my words, Jews and Gentiles. Frey Poole asked me in Gerona if I believe in the Trinity. I asked him, what is the Trinity? Does it mean that God is composed of three coarse bodies like the bodies of men? He answered, no. I asked, are they three ethereal substances like souls or three angels? He said, no. I inquired further, is it one thing composed of three elements as physical bodies consist of the four elements? He said, no. If so, I challenged, what is the Trinity? He answered, it is the wisdom, will, and power. I said, I admit that God is wise and not foolish, that he has will without emotion, that he is powerful and not weak. However, the expression Trinity is a fundamental error, for wisdom is not an external element of chance in the Creator. Rather, he and his wisdom are one. He and his will are one. He and his power are one. If so, wisdom, will, and power are all one. Even if he were affected by external chances, that which is godly would still not be three, but God, he is the one, who is the subject of the three elements of chance. At this point, our Lord King expressed an analogy which the deceivers taught him. He said that there are three things in wine: color, taste, and smell, and yet they are one. However, this is a fundamental error, for the color, taste, and smell in the wine are separate things. Each can be found without the other, for there are red and white and other colored wines. The same applies to taste and smell. Moreover, the wine is not the redness or the taste or the smell. It is the substance of the wine itself that fills the vessels. Thus, the wine is a substance carrying three different properties in which there is no unity. Should we mistakenly count the divine wisdom, will, and power as three separate entities, then perforce we should be properly speaking of a unit of four components. For the being who is God and his wisdom, will, and power should all be counted, which makes four. Moreover, you should be speaking of five, for he is living. And life in him is as still as wisdom, and he would be defined as living, wise, willing, powerful, and the essence of godliness, all of which are five. However, all this is a clear mistake.
Okay, so then he asked them, so he showed them why it's impossible to have, logically, to say that God is one with the idea of the Trinity.
Right. Frey Poole then arose and declared that he believes in the real unity, and that nevertheless they are three. He said further that it is a very profound matter, which even the angels and the ministers on high do not understand.
Right.
I arose and said, it is clear that man does not believe what he does not know. If so, the angels too cannot believe in the Trinity. His friends prevented Frey Poole from answering further.
So he tried to get out of the problem by saying it's a mystery. But Ramban quickly explained to him that that doesn't remove the problem, because belief is based on an idea, on knowledge. And if the mind can't know it, so then there's no way that you could apply belief to such a thing. So, in one word, in order, when we say belief, we mean something that the mind apprehends. And therefore, we say that once it's apprehended by the mind, we can apply belief. But no one could say they believe in something which is intellectually an impossibility. And that is true with regard to every one of the Yesodi Ados. So that if a person, that's what we mentioned last time, that if a person will believe that God is all-powerful, and he will believe that there's a force that he can't control, so that is not a belief in God being all-powerful, because it's mutually exclusive. And if a person will believe that God is the true judge and the ultimate judge, and everything he does is righteousness, kol derachav mishpat, it's impossible for him to believe at the same time that he will allow a certain force to dictate the fate of an individual towards harm when that is patently unjust. So therefore, when people harbor mutually exclusive ideas, so it means clearly that such a belief is not a belief, is absolutely not a belief. So the Yesodi Ados are Yesodos, and they cannot be compromised with any side belief. If the individual does not retain the belief in its pure form, but he has an admixture of a certain other contrary, mutually exclusive idea, it means he's lost the belief. Okay. Now, the one that the Ramban says that, and the Rambam said it before him in the Mora Nevuchim. So the Rambam says in chapter 50, when reading my present treatise, bear in mind that by faith we do not understand merely that which is uttered by the lips, but also that which is apprehended by the soul. The conviction that the object of belief is exactly as it is apprehended. If, as regards real or supposed truths, you content yourself with giving utterance to them in words, without apprehending them or believing in them, especially if you do not seek real truth, you have a very easy task, as in fact you will find many ignorant people professing articles of faith without connecting any idea with them. That's exactly what it means. That people believe they claim they believe in Amun Hashem, but at the same time, they harbor contrary notions and contrary ideas. So that's basically what the Ramban says, what the Rambam says. It's a dover pashut. So many in today's world, we find many times that people utter statements that contradict the belief in Schar V'Onesh. For instance, if a certain tzaddik is nifter, this tzaddik will go to the Shemayim and will save us. This means that you do not believe that God judges himself, or that he's capable of judging himself, but he needs the help of others. And this is a contradictory belief. The moment you do that, you compromise your essential belief, and which means that your belief basically is not a belief. It's not an understanding. Now, it's interesting. The Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvos. So the Ramban has the mitzvah of the mitzvah saseh, which is just a second. Yeah. Okay, that's exactly what I'm referring to. Okay, to say that God, in order to judge us, requires someone to go up there and to change our fate, that is a contrary belief to the idea that God judges every person, does not need anybody. There's a lot of chazal, you see, that people take in a literal... Give me, have you ever read Sefer Mitzvah Rambam? Sefer Mitzvah Rambam with Ramban, I can't find it. What's in here? Okay. So that... Now, okay, the Ramban couldn't say it any better. In Mitzvah Ches, the Ramban says like this. He says, "Tomen tiyem ad Hashem alekecha." He says, "Sheniyached levavenu elav levada yisbarach." That we should be niyached our hearts only to God. "V'shenamen shehu levado osa kol, v'hu hayodea amitis kol osiv, umimenu levado nidrosh habos minaviyav." Or from the Urim V'Tumim, "V'lo nidrosh mehovrei shamayim v'lo mizulasam." And then he goes on and he says like this. He says, because "Kihu ha-meshana ma'rechas ha-kochovim v'ha-mazolos kirtzono," it means he is the one that controls all the laws of nature. "Mefer osos badim v'kosmin yeholel v'namen shekol ha-boos tiya elenu kithi hiskaravnu lavodasa." That everything that occurs to us is in direct proportion to our closeness to his worship. "Ke'inyin sheheftiach el derech ha-goyim al talamdu u'me'osas ha-shamayim al techasu." So you shouldn't be concerned. You should not listen to what the umos olam say, that there are other forces. And then he says, "Minayin shein sholim dover min ha-kaldoyim shenema tomen tiya emar Hashem alekecha." Okay. So, and he goes on and says, explains, those are the ones that consult the stars. And then he says, "Sho'alov Yedoni and Mason and Ma'onein and Kosein." And then he says, "Va'acharechein tzivo shi'yil libeinu tomim imo be'ela v'lo nira midivrei magid asidos me'hanes karim." And we shouldn't have any fear from all those that mention the different occurrences or signs or events will take place. Avon min nevi of nidrosh. But from the Navi, he's the one that we believe. Because he's mi piagvor. Valeim nishma. Kmoshin ema pasha. Okay. Tomen te sholem tehe bedachalta re Hashem alekecha. Vechein omar kosev. Yehi libi tomen bechukecha. Va mitzvah azos nitzav avram. Kasher bo lichros lo bris loses lo zera. Oma hasalek lefane veye somen. So that was the mitzvah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzvah to Avraham Avinu. Kivnei shehoi Yehu al Avashon Yisod Be'emunah v'acholek al HaKastin. He was the one that argued on the Avodei Avodah Zarah. Shehoi Yehu Mesiachsim HaKokos Kulam LaShemesh V'Leoreach V'Kochav V'Hu Rosh Yesh Aleim Yotzer Manig. And Avraham Avinu saw that these are only creations. Tzivaod L'Salech L'Fonah V'Leos Tomim Ima V'Lo Yitim B'Libo Shehei B'Zulas Shum Emes V'Lo Yisnakel B'Inyonam Klal. In Daito she yotzro manigosam ale yehe libo elav levado yisala ki hi ha metzava osam va meshana marachosam kirtzana כן, כי אם שם מוצא מצטגנית השלוח. זהו עניין המצווה זוס. והזכירה בהג. וכוסב ליאוס תומן. He says, and why didn't the Rambam mention it? He says, Ulei Choshev Rav Shehi Tzavo Kolelas. It's a general principle. Kolelas HaMitzvos. It's really a principle that all the mitzvahs are based on. For Lelechas B'darkei HaTorah Kinyan Ashrei Tmimei Derech HaHolchem Taras Hashem V'lechein Lo Aviv B'Cheshbona. That's why the Rambam didn't count it, he says, because it's a basic Yisod in Kol HaTorah. So the question is, I mean, so obviously, and by the way, it doesn't matter whether you mona tumim tiyah ema Hashem alekecha, and the idea of tumim again is that our fate is contingent only on one thing. It's only contingent on whether we are karav l'Hashem or whether we're rachok m'Hashem. That's the only consideration that a person should have in his whole life. Nothing else. That's tumim tiyah ema Hashem alekecha. And an individual that has side beliefs which contradict this principle, he has to abandon those. He has to abandon those. And if they exist together, so they're mutually exclusive, so then his system is completely devoid of any real idea of belief. Yes? Okay. See, what I want to say is like this, and this is the important thing, you see? That what the Torah teaches us is there's a system of priorities. That in a belief system, you see, if a person, and this is, it's more of a, it's a practical thing, but I think it's extremely important. That, like it says, Misa Sadikim is Machaper. Okay? But, so, or you find Chazal mention Ayin Hara. Okay? So, my point is this. My point is, we never compromise a Yesod in the Dos. It is okay for a person to say, Chazal say there's an Ayin Hara. I don't know what it means. But it does not mean that there is a force besides God that God either cannot control, or that God God is unwilling to control and will allow the fate of a human being to be determined not by his sitkis or his rishis, but by some other alien force. The moment the person believes that, his belief system is compromised. It's basically, in reality, the belief system is nothing. Because you can't have mutually exclusive beliefs, like the Ramban says. The moment it's mutually exclusive in the mind, you can't call that belief anymore. What does the person believe in? Something that doesn't register in his brain? That's not what we mean by emuna. So if a person will say, Misa Sadikim is Machaber. So what does that mean? I mean, obviously it doesn't mean we're going to go shoot Sadikim, kill Sadikim to have a kapar. So or be happy that when they're nifter, that we have a kapar. So these things, there are deep ideas behind these things. And what a person should say when he sees something like that is simply that's something that requires limud. That requires limud. I one time spoke about the idea of Misa Sadik Machaper, you know, what it means and the deep ideas that are involved in this concept. But I'm not trying to do that now, because you see, the point I want to make here is like this, that people feel if they don't have an answer for a chazal, that they allow that chazal to compromise their belief. That is absolutely wrong. That is absolutely usur. That's kineged haTorah. So whenever for instance, there's a chazal that says that a Kadosh Baruch Hu puts on film. So if a person will accept that chazal literally, he cannot believe that God is ain't a goof. So his system is. So what does a person do when he encounters these chazal? So what he does is he simply says, I don't know what that means, but I know one thing. I know these Yesodei Hadas. The Yesodei Hadas have priority. That's why the Rambam says that those are the things that a person must learn first, because everything is built on Yesodei Hadas. According to many, many Rishonim, among them the Rambam, Avraham Avinu didn't have Torah like we have. But his essence was the Yesodei Hadas. And the Rambam explains that Moshe Rabbeinu was great. Doesn't say he was great because he kept the mitzvahs. Says he was great because onav mo'od, because it was the highest level of perfection. So perfection and the ideas of Torah is kol haTorah kol. That's why I said, Tamen tiyah emet Hashem lekecha, it doesn't matter whether you say that it's olo l'minyan ha-mitzvahs. See? And that's something that I mentioned in Shir one time that is worth repeating. That a mitzvah, anything that's outside a mitzvah, doesn't mean it's not important. Ashrei yishe yishmal mitzvah secha, So the Devar Hashem is not any less, and the Devar Hashem, as a matter of fact, is more, because the mitzvos are vehicles that lead a person to perfection. The Dvar Hashem is the essence of perfection itself, like the Ramban says. The Ramban doesn't count Tumim Tiyashon Lekech as a mitzvah because it's the Yisod of Kol HaTorah Kula. So if it's the Yisod of Kol HaTorah Kula, it's more significant than any individual mitzvah. So you can't, today there's a style for people to look at mitzvahs as if the idolization of mitzvahs. Mitzvahs are great vehicles, but the mitzvah is a vehicle to bring you to a true Derech HaChayim. And the Derech HaChayim is what is that which is the essence. So a person has to have a way, a Derech, of understanding things, and he has to know there's a system of priorities. And you never, if you don't, you find a Chazal, that's why there's a Masechet Sofrim, it says that the ones that are close to the Agados, why? Because the Agados were not meant for the Hamonam. And when the Hamonam sees this, so then it destroys their basic, Yisod HaAgados. So the important thing for an individual, and that's what the Ramban is saying, when the Ramban says that we have to believe one thing, that he says, that is the only thing that matters. If we're close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu or if we're removed. And that depends on the Derech Chaim, and nothing will interfere with that. And nothing will make any difference. You see, I want you to know this one of, and I'd like to get around to it. We started to speak about it. The Derech Avodah Zarah. See, the Derech Avodah Zarah is a whole style of, a whole Derech of thinking. And the, is a whole Derech of thinking. And there are certain, as I said, it's important. If Kol HaTorah Kula is to be motzi, to remove us from Avodah Zarah, so it's important to have an understanding of what this Derech Avodah Zarah is. And one of the marks, of the Derech Avodah Zarah is that man can be saved by some external type of a thing. That's basically one of the things that runs through all their thinking, that some kind of external thing can save them, not what they do and their level of righteousness, but they seek out some kind of magical type of event that could change their fate. I mean, that's basically all these things, looking into the kochavim and seeing and trying to discover what's going to occur. It's basically a desire to control their fate and to make their fate not dependent on their way of life and their Derech HaChayim. That's one of the marks of the Avodah Zarah. There are a lot of them. That's just that's one of them. And that is what the Torah was mitzava, that we should not be caught in that type of in that type of a Derech of thinking, because that's connected to the Torah. Yes?
Last night, I said a phrase, and
it's a good question. It's a good question, but right now, I'd rather not. You see, what I'm trying to do is, this is the idea that I'm trying to get across, that I don't want to answer every question. There are many, many points. The thing is like this. The problem is that people see these things, and therefore what their mind tells them is, oh, there's something to this. They immediately project some kind of reality which is against the Yisod HaAgados. They attach to this idea, and then they they'll only relent if you could explain it to them in another way. I say that type of thinking is erroneous. It's a difficult task. You see, it's a very difficult task to accomplish. I admit it's not easy, especially the way you train from early youth. But I'm saying that the whole Amitas HaTorah is contingent on this, and that this is something which we have to understand, because the system of Torah is not a simple one. It's not one which goes along with the emotions of man. It's one which is based on Chachma, and in Chachma there's a Derech, there's a way of thinking, and this is essential in the way of thinking, and that is the Yesodei HaDos must be clear to us 100%, and anything we hear that we think contradicts that, we must abandon it. It's okay to say, I don't understand what it means. It has some meaning, which is in line with the Yisod HaAgados. But just because we don't understand it, and it sounds like something that we want to project primitive emotions onto, we should not be influenced by that. But we have to have the strength to say that the Yisod HaAgados are emes, and all our lives are dependent completely on those Yisodos, and anything we hear that seems to contradict it, we have to dismiss it. Dismiss it outright. And say, if Chazal said it, It's an offense to Chazal. We have to say we don't understand that. But we don't abandon that which is clear and that which is the lifeline of all of Klal Yisrael because we hear something that sounds like an idolatrous or some other type of thinking which we know is alien. That is real. That concept is a concept that is a part of our Bechira. And we have to exercise our Bechira correctly with regard to the ideas of Torah, just like we have to exercise our Bechira correctly with regard to doing the mitzvahs. And as a matter of fact, this is even more important, because this is the very foundation, the very fundamentals of the whole Das. So even if you had 100 Chazal that would imply that that one of the Yesodei HaDas is to be compromised, you have to dismiss all those Chazal and say, they're wonderful Chazal. They have deep meaning. I do not understand what they mean. But they certainly do not mean that there are other forces besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or that a person's fate is contingent on anything other than Shmiras HaMitzvahs and having the correct Deos and Torah. That itself is a Nisayon. That itself is a great Nisayon. See, people recognize Nisyonos when it comes to doing things. That's the nature of man, keeping away from an Avera. The Taiva gets a person, so he sees it's a Nisayon. But he doesn't see a Nisayon that has to do with thinking. And that Nisayon that has to do with thinking is the greatest Nisayon. Nisayon that has to do with ideas. That itself is a realm of tremendous Nisayon. And I'm going to show you that, expand a little bit on that a little more. But that idea has to be clear. I'll give you an example. In the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. Okay? The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva says, Chamisha Heim Anakroim Minim. There are five people that are called Minim, and Minim is, of course, Ein Lecha Olam Haba. So he says like this. He says, first one is Shoma Ein Shoma Laka, Vein Olam Manig. He doesn't believe that there's a source of the creation, and he doesn't believe that this source controls the universe. That's one. Va'omer Tu Sheyesha Manig, yes, he believes that there is a source for the creation. Avo Hein Shnayim Oyosa. Okay, he doesn't deny plurality in the Creator. I'm not going to go into all these ideas right now. I just want to get to one point. Roma sheyesham ribon echad, but a person, and even a person that says there's one ribon, one source of all creation, aval shehu gufu baltmuna, but he, in some sense, he's physical. So the Ravid says, Amar Avram, v'lama kara lazem min. Why did Rambam call this person a min? V'kama gedolim v'tovim mimenu. Many people that were greater than him, holchu b'zol machshava, they went along with this idea. He says, why? Lafi ma shero b'mikros, because they saw certain psukim that imply that. Vayiru es olakei Yisrael v'sachas raglov k'masei l'vnas asapir, many psukim that imply that idea. He says, v'yoser and more mi ma shero b'divri agados. And even more, they saw things in divri agados. And the Ravid concludes, ha'mishabshos as adeos. The agados that destroy the deos of a person. So what the Ravid says is not disturbing, except for one phrase he has here. What's the phrase? Yeah. Kama gedolim v'tov mimeno. How could the Ravid say that a person is greater than the Rambam who has an erroneous idea of God? That's not possible. Because the Yesodei HaDas, everything hinges on the Yesodei HaDas. So to say that a person is greater than the Rambam, no matter how much Torah he would have, no matter how much Chochmah in the Yama Talmud he would have, he could never be greater than the Rambam. If you say to somebody greater than the Rambam in Chochmah Satalmud, which the Rambam himself wouldn't deny, but if he has an erroneous idea of the creator of the universe, it is impossible. He cannot be greater than the Rambam. It is not possible.
Okay? That Aristotle was equal, if not greater?
Now, the Rambam believed that Aristotle was the greatest intellectual, the highest level of intellect, because the Rambam felt that when Aristotle examined an area, he had no prejudices. He examined it freely with his intellect, and he was a great, his intellect was of the highest level, and that's why he considered Aristotle to be an individual that is Tachlis Das HaOdam under Nevuah. He says, under Nevuah, one step under Nevuah.
So he was greater than the Rambam.
Who was greater than Rambam?
Aristotle.
I don't know about that.
If Rambam says that Aristotle is greater than he is.
Well, no, he didn't say he's greater than he is. I wouldn't say the Rambam. The Rambam does not evaluate himself. The Rambam, Rambam is a great honor. He's a Midas Moshe Rabbeinu.
He certainly thought that Aristotle was his master in terms of a teacher.
No, he did not think Aristotle was his master. As a matter of fact, the Rambam had no fear of criticizing and showing errors in Aristotle, and he absolutely not. He did not. The Rambam was not a worshiper of Aristotle. But the Rambam gave credit to an individual that reached a certain level of Chachma. Was the Rambam's mind as great as Aristotle's? I don't see why we have to say not. I mean, perhaps his mind was greater than Aristotle's mind. But did the Rambam have greater knowledge than Aristotle? Absolutely. There's no question about it, because the Rambam had access to Nevuah, which Aristotle didn't have access to. So there's no question that the Rambam had greater knowledge than Aristotle. But in raw intellect, was he as great? Perhaps he was greater. I don't see why we have to say otherwise. But the Rambam wasn't interested in today's world, in ranking. There's an idea of ranking Gedolim. You know, he's here, he's there. That wasn't the Rambam. The Rambam wasn't involved in petty things like that. But the Rambam just mentioned the truth about a human being that was on an extremely high level. So even though he wasn't the Yisra. But getting back to the point that I want to make, that is that we cannot. So when you see a Raavad like this, so what does a person do? You see, so immediately the average person will say, well, the Raavad said it. You see, the Raavad said it, so it must be held that way. You see, what I'm saying is that is not the derech. Lo zu haderech. That's not the way we work. We don't give up Yesode Hadas because we see a Raavad or we see anybody or a Chazal or anything that denies. Otherwise we're compromising Yesode Hadas. So we simply say we don't understand what the Raavad. That's the Gemara says in Chulin. Even if Yeshua ben Nun would say it, I wouldn't believe it. What does it mean? It means that Yadus is based on firm principles. We know those principles. We never abandon those principles. If we see something that seems to contradict these principles, we say we don't understand it. If we see a writer that says something that we know cannot be true, so we say we don't understand the writer. But we don't say, oh, the writer said it, so now we're gonna forego our whole system, and we're gonna say that a person has an erroneous idea of God, he could be greater than a person who has a true idea of God. That's crazy. You see. So my point is that there are nisyonos of the mind, nisyonos in the intellect, that are just as serious, more serious than the sionos that we face with regard to doing Maaseh HaMitzvah. That is the concept that I want to bring out. And regardless of whether we can answer what this means or what that means, it should have no bearing on our basic amunah. And the basic amunah is Schar V'Onesh, and nothing interferes with Schar. Kol Rachav Mishpat, Tzadik V'Yashahu, what the Pasuk says, that's the Yesod. And if we find anything anywhere that we think in our minds contradict this principle, we must remove it from our minds immediately and say, this has Chazal said it. Chazal say that a Kadosh Baruch Hu puts on film. Obviously, there's a meaning to that. There are deep ideas behind that. But in no way does that indicate that God is physical or that it's actual or that this Chazal has any kind of literal reality to it. We must reject that outright. That's an Asayon Ha'odam. It's an assayon just as great, and I said greater, than an assayon with regard to a person giving into a taivana. Now let me read to you what the Kesef Mishnah says. Kesef Mishnah says on the right, the Yesh Litmua, al Peh Kadosh. He says, it's astounding, on a Peh Kadosh, meaning the Raavad, Eich Yikra La'omrim Shehu Gufu Bal Tmuna, Gedolim V'Tovim Mimeno. That's what Kesef Mishnah says. He says, how could the Raavad say that? He says, it's a tamiya. You see, that's the right approach. The Kesef Mishnah's approach is the right approach. It cannot be, and we have a big question here. Big question. But the question does not indicate that there is any kind of emes, or any kind of truth, to what we see before us in the Raavad. It's a question. We simply have to say we don't understand it. But what the Kesef Mishnah does say is, the Kesef Mishnah says, he says like this, says, V'efshir ikra nuscha, Kemosha Kosov the Sefer Ikarim. He says, maybe the main Nusach is not like we have in our Raavad, but there was another Nusach in the Raavad, a Nusach that's brought down the Sefer Ikarim. And this is the Sefer Karm's Nesach. Omar Avram, Afal Pisha Ikir Hamuna Kenu, Hamamin Heyos Guf Mitzat Fisoso Lashonos Apsukam. A person who believes that God is physical because he believes he was caught by the Lashon HaPsukim, v'amidrashos kepashton, and the plain literal interpretation of Rashi, and he was ignorant, he didn't know, ain't roy lekros a min. It's not fit to arrive at hell, it's not his fault, you can't call him a min, because his real belief is whatever the Psukim mean. But he doesn't know, he's making a mistake. So that's a machlekes between the Rambam and the Ravid, whether a person who his underlying belief system is, if you're listening, do you believe what the Torah says? I'll say yes. You say, but the Torah says that God is who? If that's what it says, I believe it. If I'm making a mistake, I retract. He doesn't have an intrinsic belief in this idea. He believes in the Torah. But he's making a mistake in what he thinks the Torah is saying. So that the Rive held is not really a min, because his underlying belief really is whatever the Torah says. The Rambam does not accept it. And the Rambam in the Morning Vukum says openly, he says that anyone that will excuse himself and say the reason why he believes that God is physical is because of Lashon HaKasuv, he says that's no excuse. Over the Avodah Zarah have plenty of excuses, and it won't help him. But the Rive disagrees with the Rambam, and the Rive has his own opinion. But what I want to show you is the way the Kesef Mishnah approached it. And that's an exact example of what I'm saying. That if you see something that contradicts the Yesodei Hadas, or seems to contradict the Yesodei Hadas, we don't abandon the Yesodei Hadas, and we don't question even the Yesodei Hadas, and we don't even allow it to enter our minds in a way that it should cast any doubt on the Yesod. The Yesod is fundamental. The Yesod is sound. And all these other things we simply relegate. We say, it's some problem. I don't understand how to write that. That's a question. How could the Ravid write that? But that there's any truth in the literal meaning of the Ravid, we reject outright. It's interesting, but there was another Gersa also, that it was a mistake. That really the Ravid didn't write Gedolim V'Tovim Mimenu, but there was a letter missing over here. In the original writing of the Ravid, it was Me'amenu. Me'amenu. Gedolim V'Tovim Me'amenu. Holchu B'Zul Ma'amachshava. So it's a misprint. It's a misprint. You see, there are many things that could happen. There could be you could have a misprint. So you don't abandon. But I don't want you to think that because there's an answer of a misprint, that's why we don't accept what the literal meaning of the rabbi. That would be then you're catering to the same emotion again. See, that's my point. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Okay. But now we have a different question. Now the question is, now that we know that this is so, go ahead.
Back to Eliyahu. It seems like you can't be offensive.
You can't be offensive, that's correct.
So you have a pasuk in the Chumash that talks about the Lavan. It says that Elo K Abraham Velahei Nechor.
No, Elohei Nechor, right. Nochor. It is Elohei Nechor. Good. Yes.
We said that he had belief in both. And the pasuk seems to bear that out because one is kodesh and one is chol.
Go ahead.
So it seems like he's offensive.
Who's offensive?
Lavan.
He is. So what's wrong with that? I have a problem with that. What's offensive?
That was his problem.
He's not really, I mean, he may be, he may have been related to us, but
Abraham.
So
he had a correct belief in L.O.K. Abraham.
Do you want me to explain to you what Lavan Arami's belief system was? Was it a correct one? No.
Well, so I understand that, but he had a certain true belief in the Hashem Baruch, no?
True? How do you know it's true?
Because otherwise the Pasuk would not say it's Kodesh.
Oh, I see your question. That's a good question. Okay. His question is, how can I say L.O.K. Avram is Kodesh? That's a good question. Because Lavan Arami said it. So yeah, okay. That's a good question. But the answer to your question is that the Ovdei Day of Avodah Zarah, the Rambam explains this, and I said it many times. I'll say it again. That Paro believed in God. Okay, he did not believe in the Shem Hayichud. But the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, the old Ovdei Avodah Zarah, did believe that there's a creator of the universe. The only thing is that they believed that there are powers that God created, servants, and they're prime movers. He relegated he relegated certain areas to their control, and they worshipped these sub-deities. But they did believe in a creator of the universe. So insofar as he believes in a creator of the universe, so that's correct. That idea is correct. As a matter of fact, the Rambam and the Mara endorses that. Because the Rambam says anyone that believes that God has emotions, and you see the Ramban says in the Vikuach, where he says that I believe that God, what's his lesson over there? He says, I believe that God is just and what he says, wise. He says, I answered him. Matish, I know that she look a chacham v'lo tipesh, v'chefetz below our gusha. He has a will without emotions. Okay, so the Rambam says in the Morning of Ukham that a person that believes that God, when it says God has rachamim, that it means he has an emotion similar to what man has. He says that person is worse than an Ovid Avodah Zarah. Because the Ovid Avodah Zarah didn't have any mistake about God himself. At least he had the right idea over there. Says this person doesn't have the right idea of God at all. So that's why it's Kaddish. But that's the answer to your question. That was a good question. But, okay. What was the point that we were on before? Excuse me? Yeah, the rabbit, okay. So that's what I'm saying to you is a yesod in Bechira itself. Okay, but my point over here is not that, I want to hear one thing, what you're saying. You see, and that is that any mutually conflicting ideas cannot be subject to belief. But in Lavan, it's not mutually conflicting, because insofar as God is concerned, he believes in the creator of the universe. Then he has other ideas, you see. So that's not mutually exclusive. But if a person will believe that God is just, and Tzadik v'Yashu and Kol Drachav Mishpat, and will believe at the same time that unless a certain individual dies, his mishpat is not going to be for the good. That's a mutually exclusive idea. You understand? That's a mutually exclusive idea in the same framework. See, Lavan Aram was wrong, but it wasn't mutually exclusive in the same framework. But mutually, and our Yisodi Adas are more, the Yisodas that we have are more than just belief in God. That's the first Yisod. But we have another Yisod of Schar Vanish, and in that Yisod you can't have mutually exclusive ideas either. Okay? That's my point. There, in the frame of reference, if it's intellectually, logically, mutually exclusive, we must reject it. Any idea that we come across at all, of any sort. Like, for instance, some are of the opinion that God is in everything. I'm sure you've heard it, that there's a chelik of God in every person. That's an outright denial of Yichud Hashem. That's an outright denial of Yichud Hashem. And those two beliefs cannot coexist. Though they're mutually exclusive, and therefore it means the person has no belief in the oneness of God. Okay. So now.
Lavan had the first Yisod, but not the Yisod of Schar Vaonesh of it.
Obviously. Well, that's why he's worried about his truffle.
Exactly.
Okay. So his fate was tied to the truffle. So the.
One more question?
Yeah.
So, why is it better to believe in Baal than. I understand how we could. Recommend the belief in Baal, as opposed to you're saying that a belief in Baal is being a fence sitter is further away than just a belief in Baal. Can you explain that a little more?
Being a fence sitter.
It's very elastic that a person could be wrong, but at least if he's using the mechanism of thinking, he could arrive at it correctly eventually. But if
that's
he's just driven by emotions, he believes in both
so that's only going to help if he comes to that realization, but
if not.
No, what Eliyahu Hanavi was saying is that for us, for Yahadus, what we're saying is like this. There are, according to Yahadus, if a person believes in Avodah Zarah, he's gone. It doesn't matter that he has a belief in the creative universe, and then he believes in these sub-deities. He's gone. According to us, his life is worthless. So therefore, Eliyahu Hanavi was saying that if you're illogical, then there's no hope. But if you're consistent, at least the person's consistent, at least he could be reached. That's what Eliyahu was saying. And insofar as the essence of the belief system is that if a person, we don't say to a person, we don't teach people and say, we'll teach him to believe in God as the creator of the universe and also believe in sub-deities. For us, that's zero. Okay? You have to understand, you have to understand why that's so. But for us, such a belief is absolute. Even though it's closer to the truth, it's worthless. Okay? You understand what I'm saying?
As a matter of fact, Eliyahu's whole experiment was based on that. Because if they believed in God's things, they would say, oh, Baal was having a bad day.
That's correct. That's correct.
It was the premise of the experiment.
Yeah, that's correct. Now the question is like this.
If you believe in one or the other, you're still a bar huffy of the coming to the correct belief. But believing in both, you're illogical.
There's no, but then the person not subject to any kind of, then he's totally destroyed. He has no mind. He has no, he's completely destroyed. And, okay? Okay. Now, yeah, so let me just try to get back to this point. Okay. But now we come to a sensitive issue. And that is a practical question. Okay. So what do we do insofar as ourselves, I think we see clearly what a person must do. But now the question is, what do we do with regard to people at large? It's an interesting thing. I was sitting outside and I heard two people talking. And they're talking about the world today and Jews. And one woman was saying that she has a friend that is not religious and criticizes her for standing up for the state of Israel. So she says, you're an American. So she replied, I'm Jewish first. So the other woman said, but you're not religious. So she says, what does being Jewish have to do with religion? but then I noticed the friend she was talking to had a red bendel. It's amazing. I mean, these people are completely removed from Yahadis. But she's wearing this red thread. So I asked her, I said, tell me, I said, well, what is that red thread you're wearing on your hand? So she says to me, she says, it comes from the grave of Rachel, and it's blessed. It's blessed. And so I said, so what does it do? So she says, it protects me from evil. So I said, isn't God supposed to do that? So she thought for a minute, she says, yeah, but this helps. So then a friend said, yeah, she wants to cover all bases. But that is, they mentioned, blessed by Rabbi the Baba Sali, and what? And they said, and she said, and she says, and it's not a superstition. So on the one hand, you have to be Malamed Schus also, because you see, at least they know that superstition is bad. Something, I mean, you see that Moshe Rabbeinu got through, even on some level. I mean, at least they know that. That certainly is a limit source, but. The fact remains in terms of the belief system. I mean, it is superstition. I mean, it's exactly what it is. But the point is that people, and here you talk about modern people, but modern man has not come to the point where they recognize this fundamental yisod of Torah, what the Ramban says and what the Rambam says, that a belief has to be based on something that's apprehended by your mind. And if it's mutually exclusive, it can't be considered a belief. But modern man does not recognize that simple concept that Yahadus taught thousands of years ago. That idea, modern man, he could have the most elaborate technology, but this idea he hasn't got through his head yet. It's an amazing thing. But the question is, and this is a practical question, so what do we do with regard to others that have these beliefs? And that really, the Yisod HaYadus, I mean, are really in peril, I mean, non-existent. So what should our approach be? That's an interesting question. That's a very interesting question. It's an interesting question. Should we ridicule them? Should we come out against them? Should we say things? You see, that's the question. My opinion is that the Ramban sheds, I think, some light on this. The Ramban that I mentioned before, the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvos. But Ramban says an interesting thing at the end. He says something which is astounding when you look into it a little bit. And he says like this. He says that this mitzvah was a mitzvah that Avraham Avinu was nitzava. And he says, Heshalech lefanei ve'yeh somen. He says, because he was the yesod of the emuna, he says, that was cholik on the kazdim in their nonsense. He says, and he saw with his mind that the universe has a yotzer and a manig, the true ideas. Tziva od lesalech lefana velio sonimimo. Velo yitem belibo sheyehei bezuloso shum emes. Velo yistakel beinyoneim klal. Okay? That's tonin. Lesalech lefana velio sonim. So the question is, we're talking about Avraham Avinu. I mean, I'm talking about an ordinary person. Of course. Well, what does he need a tziva like that for? I mean, what does he need a tziva like that for? So, apparently, what the Ramban is saying is that there's different levels of tumah. Different levels of tumah. That Yetzer Lev Adam Ra Menurav, and the instinctual force in man is very great and very powerful. And as a matter of fact, large portions, Chazal called the Yetzer Hara Tzafuni, Tzafun, hidden. So there's a large part of human nature that is hidden from man. His Yetzer, his underlying Yetzer. And the greater the person, the more the individual has knowledge of himself and his instincts and uproots every single aspect of the lack of tmimus, of the lack of, and even Avraham Avinu had this tzivui to even go further, to remove from his personality any traces of these type of thoughts. That's what the Ramban is saying. That's an amazing statement from the Ramban. It shows you that it's not a simple matter, but that this mitzvah of Tumim Tiyam and Hashem Elokecha has to be fulfilled on many, many levels. And Avraham Avinu was mekayim it ultimately on the highest level possible. That there wasn't a fiber in his nature that was attached to any of any idea besides God. Tum intiyah completely imat Hashem Elokecha. So it shows you an interesting thing, that this mitzvah is not a simple mitzvah. It's not a simple mitzvah. It's one that one has to work on all their lives to remove all traces of the elements of the instinctual. And that's part of the Avodas Hashem. That's really part of Avodas Hashem. So since that's the case, you see, So we have to be careful. Like the Miri says, that Chazal recognized that people have superstitions, and Chazal didn't always go out against them, against the people, and ridicule them, even though these belief systems were contrary to Aramon, and even though, from a logical standpoint, they don't really have real Amuna. But that's true. But nevertheless, it does not mean that you have a right to go out and simply destroy these people. You see, it's interesting. The Rambam says the same thing in the Mor Nevuchim. Very interesting. If you look carefully at the Lashon Rambam, so the Rambam says like this. That same chapter that I mentioned before, the Rambam says that, he says, in fact, you will see many ignorant people professing articles of faith without connecting any idea with them. Okay, that's exactly what we're talking about. In other words, they profess articles of faith, but that's verbally, but internally they really don't have any real belief. He says, if, however, you have a desire to rise to a higher state, the Rambam says, if you want to get above that level, he says, viz. That of reflection, and truly to hold the conviction that God is one and possesses true unity, without admitting plurality or divisibility in any sense whatever, he says, then he goes on to say that you must understand that God has no essential attributes in any form. Okay? So he says, those who believe that God is one and that he has many attributes declare the unity with their lips and assume plurality in their thoughts. This is like the doctrine of the Christians, who say that he is one and he is three, and that the three are one. It's exactly what the Ramban says, all right? The Rambam said it before. But I mean, it's not a matter of who said it, that it's simply the truth, and that's it. It's emes, and all Chachmei Yisrael agree. But you see, the Rambam is careful. The Rambam says, because the Rambam says, if you want to rise above that level, and if you want to rise above that level, why don't the Rambam just ridicule people all the way and just simply say, that's it. Their existence has no value whatsoever because their belief is compromised. But the Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam just says that there is a hamone ha'am, that it's true, their belief system is compromised, but nevertheless he doesn't go out right against them. There's only one place where he goes outright against them, and that is over here. But the Rambam said like this, that God is incorporeal, that he cannot be compared with his creatures, that he is not subject to external influence, these are things which must be explained to everyone according to his capacity, and they must be taught by way of tradition to children and women, to the stupid and ignorant, as they are taught that God is one, and he is eternal, and he alone is to be worshipped. Okay? So the Rambam really draws the line. He says, when it comes to certain ideas, you must teach those ideas clearly. If it's a question, if people are saying things that deny the unity of the Creator, then we must speak against it. But when it comes to a person having mutually exclusive, even though they're mutually exclusive beliefs, you can't be so quick to simply go in and try to destroy them, you know, try to demolish them, even though you have a good logical argument, because you have no right to do that, because that's their level. There is a level of a hamon that apparently the Torah accepts, doesn't completely. That's why Chazal with the Kimeos also, what they tried to do was to give them psukim that take them away from their erroneous ideas, but they didn't destroy them. So it's a practical matter and an important matter, because with knowledge, and especially when people are young, and especially in the yeshiva, when people gain knowledge, there is a certain kind of arrogance that's unavoidable. And many times, due to that emotion of arrogance, people they feel their oats, so to speak, and they come out against other people and try to destroy them with logic. That's not correct. It's not right. Because if a person is able to rise to a higher level of amuna, like the Rambam says, he should be very thankful. Very thankful that he's able to perceive that. But he should not use it to go out and criticize others and try to demonstrate that the other person's belief is worthless. That's a very dangerous kind of a thing. Interesting is, and that's what I believe the Rashi in Pekudei is saying. See, Rashi says it's Mishkan HaEdus. What is Mishkan HaEdus? Edus in Yisrael Shevita Lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Maisei HaEgel. Vita Lahem. Interesting. It doesn't say that it was Machaper them for the Avona Ego. And when you look at the Avona Ego, so it's interesting. But what happened by the Avona Ego, and how Klal Yisrael made it through the Avona Ego, is very interesting, because what happened over there after the chait? So it says vayikach es ha'egel asher asu vayisrael asu ba'esh vayitchan ad asher dok vayizal pnei amayim vayashkes pnei Yisrael. So Rashi says in this shalosh misos nidunu, they were judged with three mises bezn shem yesh eidim vasra besayef kemishpat anshei yoni dachas eidim belo asra b'magefa. So there was some that there was no asra, so they died by the magefa. Shinema vayigafar Hashem asam, and lo eidim velo asra. So then behedroken shebotkum amayim. So the drinking of the water was killed them. It was done through bedikas amayim. So it was really so Moshe Rabbeinu imposed the misas bezin on Klal Yisrael. Misas bezin on Klal Yisrael. But what about tshuva? Did they do tshuva? It's interesting. Did Klal Yisrael do tshuva by the ego? Very interesting. Because what Moshe Rabbeinu says is that, Vayimi mochras vayoma Moshe lo'om. Atem chatasim chato gedola. Va'ato ele el reshem. Ulo yachapra vayt chataschem. So Rashi says, interesting. He says, osim kofer v'kinuach ustima l'neged chataschem. Interesting thing. So Moshe Rabbeinu said it was a different kind of a system, apparently. If it was Tshuva Gemura, so Tshuva Gemura, that's it. Nothing's only between Tshuva Gemura. But apparently this was something different. That Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ulay Achapra Bat Chataschem, he meant I'll create some kind of a division, something that separates you from the Chait. So there'll be a separation, and you'll be able to continue as Klal Yisrael. And you see, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to Moshe Rabbeinu, he says that Va'ata lech necheyes ha'om el asher dibati loch. Hinei malochi elech lefanecha. Uviyom poti ufakadati aleim chatasam. So what does it mean? Uviyom poti says, right now, I'm not going to destroy them. Because of your tefillah. Your tefillah is correct. But beyond poti ufakadati aleim chatasam. So Rashi says, what does that mean? That means that the ata shamati elecho milachalosam yachad. The tomid kishe efkod aleim avonoseihem, whenever the chote further, right now they can exist, but when the chote further fakatelem ma'at min avonazeh im she'or avonos ve'ein puronios bo'o la'olam bo'o al Yisrael she'ein bo'ktsas mi piron avono egel, that the avono egel was always there. So apparently tshuva gemura was not possible. Not only is not possible, a person could always be a shav, but I mean, at that time, it did not take place. It wasn't possible as a means of removing the chait. But the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu was able to save them, so that there was something that was mavdil between them and the chait. This Sforno says very nice, because he says, when Moshe Rabbeinu told him, Atem chatasem chato gedola. So the recognition that it was a chato gedola. That's what he demanded of them. Akoras achet. That's midarkei atshuva. So they were makir the chet. That akor alone was enough to allow Moshe Rabbeinu to be mispalel ba'adam, and because he was mispalel for them, and he assumed the responsibility, a different kind of responsibility, so they were able to continue. And the Ramban says also. The Ramban says that have you got a Ramban here with a? The Ramban says very nicely. He says later in the pasuk, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that Vayomer Hashem Moshe Amor Bnei Yisrael Atam Am Kshei Oref Rega Echor Ela V'Kirbacha V'Chili Sicha Va'ata Hored Edyecho Me'alecha Ve'eda Ma'as Alach. So it says when they heard that the first pasuk. It says, "Kilo ella bekirbacha." Hakadosh Baruch says, "Kilo ella bekirbacha." Kiam kishay orafata penachelcha badarach. That Hakadosh Baruch said, "The Ashra Shechina will not be the same." Vayishma omes adavar azeva yisabalu v'lo shasu ish ediolav. So the Ramban says, because they were misabel when they heard the news, so Hakadosh Baruch is molei rachamim, and because of that, they were misabel, and there was nechama, they were sorry. So there was a level of akaras achet, so that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't destroy them. So it appears that it was lacking in tshuva. In terms of tshuva, gemura was lacking. But nevertheless, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to effectuate a postponement of the onesh. That Kadosh Baruch Hu said that in the future, when it arises, if it surfaces again, that every chet has part of the avon ego, because avodah zarah is really the opposite of kol haTorah kula, and every chait has something of avodah zarah in it. So whenever it arises, so the Ashgacha determined that the onesh will be meted out, not in one moment, but meted out over generations, over doros. That was the answer. That was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response. So that's why, according to Rashi, the idea of Mishkan HaEdus, what does it mean? Mishkan HaEdus hi liYisrael sheviter lahem al chet ha'ego. It means to say that the Hashra Shechina itself is a different Hashra Shechina. That the Mishkan HaEdus meant that even though that Klal Yisrael has to know that this Hashra Shechina is Hashochin itam besoch tomosam, that it's a Hashra Shechina of a certain type. You see, that's the Eidus, that they shouldn't forget. The Mishkan is Eidus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mevate Abraham, which means to say that the Hashra Shechina is Hashra Shechina, but they must never forget that the Chet HaEgel was always there. That the Chet HaEgel was always, in spite of the Hashra Shechina, the Hashra Shechina is HaShochin Itam B'Soch Tumasa, that is Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Chesed Hashem, the Hashra Shechina. So that idea of Ashura Shechina is the correct idea. When a person sees Ashura Shechina in the Mishkan, he should know in his mind what that means. It doesn't mean that we're tzaddikim, gemurim. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was vitalah, that he allows us to exist in spite of the chait ha'egel. He allows us to exist, and he's still mashra shechinasa. So it's a limud of midras HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how Rashi learns the Mishkan Ha'edus, the idea that a person, the correct idea that a person has when he witnesses the Ashura Shechina that takes place in the Mikdash. Yes. That itself is a limud. What do you mean?
They do not speak of it. Thus the pious are advised and addressed, commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Sela.
Oh, you're right. That's the end of that chapter.
Yeah,
where he says that a person should be... realize that he's fortunate to have the true ideas, but the domusella, yeah, that's correct. That's how you can't. That's correct. Very good. Yeah. Okay.
The question is, would the Mishkans have been there at all if they didn't have the Chet Ha'egel?
Okay.
Because we see the association after the Chet Ha'egel.
Good question.
There is a causal relation.
That's a very good question. Okay. All right, we'll stop there. The Mora really wasn't written as a book. It was written as a letter, and the letter that is public, because the letter was to his Talmud, who he felt was on a true level to understand what he wrote. But he allowed that letter to be known to the world. But essentially, it's a letter, which is to show you that it's not for everybody. But the Rambam did write. He says there's nothing in, he wrote it in a way that will never harm anybody, even though they're not on the correct level. But a person should know what he can't understand and what he could understand, which is really was really written for a person on a very high level.
So he was speaking not to Ibn Akhil.
He was speaking to Ibn Akhil.
Yeah, but as the
what?
I thought Ibn Akhil was above the level of Hammuram that he's speaking.
Because the Rambam is explaining to Ibn Akhil the whole system. That's important. Every idea there is important, even for Ibn Akhil. I mean, the idea of, even though it's contradictory, but how do you handle it? I mean, that's an important concept.
So,
do you understand what I mean?
Doesn't mean you.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you, but what does the Torah hold about it? Okay. That's my point. So my point is this. What I want to get back to, yes, my point is, that's the same idea over here. That Hashochein itam besoch termosa. That even though the ideas may be corrupt, and even though in Klal Yisrael you find the Hamonam, like the Rambam says, the people, the average ignorant person, but that's really HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mevater, which means to say that it doesn't mean that such a person is outside of Klal Yisrael, unless it's certain things, which the Rambam mentions, the basic points that I mentioned. But aside from those elements that he mentions, even though people are not logically, it's not correct, but that's the same idea of the Mishkan Ha'edus. That's the same idea. Okay.
Yeah. Practically,
the things that he mentions must be taught to everybody. And I mean, that you can't compromise. You can't do that. But that's a separate thing. The way of doing it is you have to know, the person has to know how to do it. Just to make a machlekes is no mitzvah. I mean, that's not the way to do it. The person has to know if he's able to influence somebody, then, you know, on their level, then he must do it. But that goes into a whole different parsha of how to do it. Yes.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean anything's good. No. Uvion pakti fakakti alim eschatasam. It's not good. It's not good. Because that is God's God's knowledge insofar as how he leads Klal Yisrael and how he allows Klal Yisrael to exist. That's Chachmas Hashem insofar as the entity of Klal Yisrael. Okay, that's a different system. Okay.